Chapter 47. I'd barely had my first cup of coffee the next morning when Daisy called. "Ned," she said, "can you come to my office? The owner of that property you're interested in is here with me. If you still want to buy it, I believe she's ready to sell." I felt my heart quicken. "I sure am interested. I'll be there as soon as I can get into some jeans. We had a bit of excitement around here last night, and after Cade left, I'm afraid I dozed off for a bit." Cade had been gone when I awoke, but if he had found any evidence of last night's prowler, he surely would have told me. So that was another unsolved mystery. The good news from Daisy did a lot to help chase away the night's terror. I could hardly wait to hear what I'd need to do to be able to buy that large lot that had sheltered my parents and me. I needed this bright spot in the day. By noon, I was the proud owner of my old homestead. It was a good feeling. To celebrate, I called Pat and Jackie and asked them to meet me at Grandy's, coffee on me. I also called Cade. He offered his congratulations and said he was glad it was back in the Duncan family's hands. Janie smiled as I walked through Grandy's door. A strong March wind had blown away the clouds, but it was a cold wind, a winter wind. Even the timid pale green leaves on the trees looked as if they wished they hadn't been so eager to make their appearance. "There'll be two more coming, Janie," I said, heading to my favorite booth at the back. "I'll want mocha coffee, but I'm not sure what Pat and Jackie will have." I was warming my hands around my mug when my two best friends slid into the bench across from me. "When are you going to take us out to see your property?" Pat asked as Janie came to take their order. "Any time you'd like," I answered. "I'm so excited, I can't see straight." "What do you plan to do with it?" Jackie asked. "Oh, goodness, I don't know. Maybe I've been foolish, but I just couldn't stand to see it neglected. I might build another house or just keep it mowed. It'd be pretty as a park. I could put in some flowers and benches and maybe a fish pond, and..." "I'm glad you decided to buy," Jackie interrupted. "You aren't planning to move out of your old house, are you?" I shook my head. "Not at all. I love that old place." Pat grinned. "I like the way you do things, for no reason except that you want to." Cade slid in beside me, bringing a cold breath of air with him. He smelled outdoorsy with a touch of leather and his spicy aftershave, a good, comforting scent. He covered my hand with his cold one and smiled at me, his eyes dancing. "You'll have to take me out to your new property," he said. "When we both have time, that is. Today I'm kind of snowed under, but I'm glad you bought it, Ned. Land is always a good investment." I nodded. "How about a cup of coffee?" He shook his head. "Not today. Nothing new about last night's prowler. Maybe he'll decide you don't have whatever it is he wants and let you alone." I wish I could put an ad in the paper or signs all over town saying, "Notice to all crooks, look elsewhere. I have nothing of value to you." Pat lifted her coffee cup as if she were going to offer a toast. "Good idea. Or I could tell my ladies' circle in church. Those women are better than a newspaper for spreading stories." Cade fidgeted and cleared his throat. He spoke to all of us, but he was gazing at me, his eyes shining. "While you are all three together, I need to tell you my big news. And it's all right with me if you tell everybody you know." He paused and took a breath. "My little girl, you remember her, Jackie, Pat? Marianne is coming home."
"Marianne? His little girl? No wonder he was excited."
"That's great," Pat said. "I haven't seen her since she left for the mission field."
Jackie reached across the table and squeezed his arm.
"Me either. No wonder you're beaming."
I couldn't think of anything to say. My friends knew Marianne, had probably watched her grow up. They had known Lena, Cade's wife, too. But I had never seen either Marianne or Lena. All I knew of them was what I had heard. Lena had died last year and now lay in one of those lonely graves at the cemetery where Uncle Javin and Miss Evangeline were buried. All I knew about Marianne was that she was a missionary to a remote tribe in Africa. But this was Cade's child, and he was overjoyed that she was coming home. I would be too if she were mine, and I was glad for Cade's sake.
smiling at Cade, who was looking at me anxiously. I said, "That's certainly big news. Tell us more. Will she be here soon?" He nodded. "She's flying into Tulsa Airport. I'll go tonight and pick her up. She said she's bringing a surprise, but she wouldn't say what. I just know she's coming home, and it has been too long since she's been here." It seemed to me that Marianne's appearance was surprise enough without bringing anything extra. Why hadn't she told her father more? "It'll be wonderful to finally meet her, Cade," I said, and I meant it. "I know she's a wonderful person. I'm glad she's coming, and I can hardly wait for her to get here." A snatch of Ghost Riders interrupted, and Cade glanced at his phone. "Looks like I've got to go. We're closing in on that teen gang that's been causing trouble. You three have fun." He grinned at us and scooted from the booth. I gazed at Cade's retreating figure until he went out the door. My friends were staring at me. "You look like you're in shock," Jackie said. Taking a deep breath, I said, "Maybe I am. That was certainly a bolt from the blue." Pat drained the last of her coffee. "There's no reason to think Marianne'll change your relationship with Cade. You'll love her. Best I remember, she's a sweet girl." "I'm sure she is. I'm happy for him." Marianne's sweetness, or lack of it, didn't concern me. How it would influence Cade's and my relationship did concern me. A daughter would be sharing Cade's life, and rightly so. I wasn't proud of the fact that I was wary of sharing Cade. To be honest, I didn't know whether I was glad or sorry.